Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're going to have a little two-part Meet the Editor week here on the Brian Lehrer Show with lots of media changes in the news. We've lined up a couple of interviews with prominent editors. Tomorrow we'll talk to New York Magazine editor-in-chief Adam Moss about his decision to only print the magazine every other week, that is in the print edition, and refocus on digital efforts. But right now I welcome Jim VandeHei, founding editor of Politico and now CEO and president of Capital New York, the local politics site that is relaunching today under the Politico brand. So we'll talk about this New York media moment. And Jim VandeHei, welcome back to the show and congratulations on the launch.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on. That's quite a get you just had. That's good.
Yeah, not too bad. What would your headline be out of that conversation, since you're going to be doing a lot of reporting on Albany on Capital New York?
I mean, I think the headline, which you're going to focus on probably more than we would, is anything he has to say, obviously, on the train accident, the train crash, and those deaths. And I don't think he said anything that was particularly newsworthy, but it's crystal clear that they're under tremendous pressure to figure out why they didn't get the technology in there quicker and how they can get technology in quick enough to avoid a disaster like this again in the future, given that the technology does exist and that there are mandates out there for some folks to have it in place. And I think that's the story of, you know, it's going to be the story of the next couple of weeks of how both the state and the city deal with this.
Were you surprised that he brought up the topic of liability in response to the question of what may have caused the driver to fall asleep?
I thought that was interesting because he brought it up by himself and talked about it for quite a little bit during your conversation. I mean, it's obviously a big concern. Obviously, he's not going to come out and say it that he thinks they don't know because the investigation's ongoing that the driver was at fault. And it does feel like when you start talking about liability, there certainly seemed to be an insinuation that that's obviously the direction the investigation's headed in.
All right. Well, let's talk about how you're making news today, which is with the relaunch of Capital New York, which some of our listeners know is founded by former New York Observer editors a couple of years ago and has featured a mix of local politics and media as well as longer form reporting. Our listeners know Ozzie Pabura, who we have on regularly from Capital New York, and some of your other reporters. So what changes today when the publication begins to get the Politico treatment?
Yeah, I mean, what changes today is we put a lot of resources into this. We have a lot more reporters, more editors, and real focus on three things. Like, if you come to Capital, you're going to get three things: coverage of the media here in New York, coverage of City Hall politics and policy, and then state politics and policy. And that's it. And on each one of those beats, we'll have more reporters, more editors than any other publication in town, including the New York Times. And the idea will be we want to dominate those three areas. I mean, we were able to do it in Washington with real focus, real energy on just breaking news. There's a lot of people that sort of pop off and opine. That's not what this site about. This site's all about breaking news, being smart, being fair, being edgy, and being really interesting and essential, especially the people who do this stuff professionally or really care about it compulsively.
And in your introductory note on the site today, it jumped out at me that you said Capital, quote, gives you exclusive information so you always have an edge over competitors. And I was struck by edge over competitors. This is not how the New York Times would advertise its political coverage or other news coverage to its readers. So if it's edge over competitors, what game are your readers playing? Who's the competition?
The competition would be anybody else who's covering the stuff that we care about. We're going to come at it a lot different than anyone else. The reason we say competition is there's going to be a big subscription element to this site, and people who are going to subscribe to this and pay up to be able to get content that they consider essential. Like, it better give them some kind of edge, better make them smarter, better make them faster, quicker, more agile than their competitors. Otherwise, why would you pay for a product? So the New York Times is a general interest newspaper and serves many constituencies. This is very New York focused, and it's focused on these three areas. There's no doubt we'll go head to head with them in these three areas. And my hope and my anticipation is we'll routinely beat them in these three areas, which is I'm confident in saying that because of the reporters and editors that we have, and because we have to. You're not going to come to a news site. You're not going to come and take valuable time out of your day to read something unless it truly is revelatory, truly is informative and essential.
And yet, it's one of the fundamental criticisms of Politico that some people have, that it's totally willing to buy into this idea of politics as a game, that news is, as somebody put it, the 1/100th turn of the screw and blow it up as news, information as first and foremost leverage in the political game. Do you think that's a valid criticism of Politico, and how would it apply in the New York case?
I mean, as you could probably appreciate, I think that criticism's bogus. I mean, if you look at Politico, we do it all. Yes, do we cover the personalities of politics? Absolutely. It's fascinating and it's essential. Do we cover policy? We have more people covering transportation policy than any publication in the country. You've got to offer it all. You've got to do the deep dive journalism. You've got to do the policy. But you've also got to do the politics and the personalities. That's why and how things get done. And we don't take that as a criticism. We wear it as a badge of honor. Yes, we're not the New York Times. Yes, we're not the Washington Post. We happen to think we're more interesting than the two of them, and ultimately more essential. And the other way to think about it is this is a niche world. Like, people who have an interest, they often have a really intense interest in something. So if you're into sports, you go to ESPN because you want more, more, more. If you're into politics and policy, you go to Politico because you want more, more, more. If you're into media, if you're into City Hall, if you're into Albany, I want you to go to Capitol because you want more, more, more. And our job is to deliver the goods. And if we deliver the goods, I believe readers will keep coming back and feel like it's worthwhile and it is essential.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we talk to the president and CEO of Capital New York, the New York City and New York State news and politics website, really politics website, that as of today is under the branding of Politico, which bought Capital New York. Jim Vandehei has already been editor-in-chief of Politico, if you use that site. And Jim, you came from the Washington Post before that, right? A long time at the Washington Post.
I did. I was at the Washington Post covering the White House, and before that, the Wall Street Journal, before we started Politico in 2007. So we've been at that for 7 years. And Capital is the first publication that we've really invested new money in. We really wanted to make sure that we owned the Washington market before we looked at other places. And New York is such a powerful city, such an interesting city, that we want to have a presence here.
There was a column, I think, by Ross Douthat in the New York Times, talking about how the Washington Post missed the boat on doing what Politico does well and should have really owned political coverage in the digital age, given its starting point as the Washington Post. But it failed to adapt. And so you and some others left and founded Politico, which is delivering political news to a whole lot of people who just are, you know, think the Washington Post is behind. Is that the way it happened?
Yeah, no, it was a little more complicated than that. But when we left the Post, I love the Washington Post. I love Don Graham. I didn't leave the Washington Post because I didn't like the Washington Post. We left the Washington Post because we saw that the world was changing and there was this fantastic opportunity to create Politico, just like we think there's this fantastic opportunity to really double down on Capital here in New York. And you know, you're in the media, and the media is just, where it's being disrupted before our very eyes. It's been blown up over the last 6 or 7 years. And you have two options. One, you can say, oh, this is scary, and I want to get out of it. Or you can say, like, this is awesome. Look at all the opportunity around us. Let's seize this opportunity and do something cool and figure out a way to tie really good journalism to a really good business model. And that's the holy grail for a media company, is to figure out how can you actually turn a profit doing awesome journalism. And if you can do those two things, that's great. I think it's great for the country. I think it's great for us individually. It's great that reporters have jobs.
One of the things that you're importing from National Politico is the playbook email briefing model. Ozzie Pabra, who I mentioned and who used to work here, by the way, was doing a morning brief already, but now it's been reworked to mirror the approach of Mike Allen's highly influential D.C.-based playbook morning email. One of the things we were remarking on in the office yesterday is that the morning brief is just pure text, no pictures, no images. Does it say something that in the age of tablets and interactivity, one of the most influential pieces of media is just a pure text-based email?
Yeah, and you have to ask you probably have the debate, why is that? The reason it is that at the end of the day, people are busy. And we put a lot of thought and research into, well, if people are busy, how do you get them to consume information? How are they consuming information? And how do you make it as usable as possible for a reader? And Playbook is a simple email that goes out, but it's the content that people find exceptionally valuable. They find it fun. They find it something that they need to do their day. They know if they're busy and they can't read a newspaper, they can read it, and now they know everything they need to know in the political world. And so for us, it was a no-brainer to do a version here in New York and make it very New York-centric. And again, it's all about the information. And we're doing one, not just we're doing the Playbook, which is for the entire city, but part of, if you go onto the site, we have a very specific Playbook-like product for City Hall, one for Albany, one for the media, because if you care about those things, you want to trust somebody who's smart to read everything and talk to everybody and make sure that they're distilling it in a very usable way for you. And to us, that's a service we do for our readers.
You do seem to want to appeal to insiders, and you make that explicit in the introductory note today. And I wonder where the balance is and if you think it's different than with other news organizations. Are you appealing to readers who specifically work in politics or in, you know, lobbying or businesses or interest groups that have an interest in influencing politics and people in the media, or is it to more of a general audience?
There's no doubt it's not a general audience, because you would have to have an inherent interest in media and politics and policy. The interesting thing we found at Politico is that if you write for insiders, if you really find out like what the true insiders are thinking about, worrying about, or doing, and if you can report on that, not only do the insiders find that essential, there's a huge audience of people who want to know what they know. They want to know what the people in power know. They want to know what the people in power are thinking and doing. And if you can deliver that, you can get a big audience by focusing on an insider audience. And you're right, it is different. That's a lot different than the New York Times. If you're the New York Times, you're sitting back, you're writing a piece, and you're trying to appeal to the masses, an international audience who have interests that span from sports to entertainment to politics to natural disasters, the whole gamut. That's not this. This is much more focused, and I think the world needs both. Like, you should have general interest papers. I love the Times. I love the Wall Street Journal, but I also have things that I have a screw loose for. I love the Green Bay Packers. I would sit and I would read 50 stories a day if I could on the Green Bay Packers. So that's a specialty site I go to on the MilwaukeeSentinelJournal.com/Packers, and I'm there 10 times a day. And I think we all have those obsessions. And I think successful news companies are figuring out a way to feed those obsessions, feed those interests in a way that is good business and good journalism.
My sympathies about Aaron Rodgers, by the way. But the Washington Post, Eric Wemple, recently profiled how Political Playbook has, in his opinion, blurred the lines between advertising and its coverage. He argued that, for instance, Mike Allen has given the Chamber of Commerce, a sponsor, favorable write-ups that weren't designed as ads per se. Do you have a response to that? What do you make of this sort of what they call native advertising?
Yeah, I thought the piece was nonsense, which is why we didn't play ball with him on it. I mean, Mike Allen has written Playbook now 365 days a year for 6 years. We've done, what, thousands of playbooks, which has had hundreds of thousands of items. I'm sure he could find any pattern he wants to if he wanted to dissect all the Playbook entries that we've had over 7 years. Mike Allen's one of the best reporters that I've known in Washington, one of the fairest, has the sort of highest ideals of anybody I know. So the product is rock solid. It's silly to insinuate that, like, why would we do that? There's no business interest to do it. Mike would have no business interest to do it. So, like, I love Playbook. It's a reason that we're replicating it here in New York, and it's the reason it's arguably the most influential newsletter, arguably the most influential email that goes out every morning in the country.
Well, apropos of that, we noticed on the top of Capitol New York this morning a list of hot topics, and among them are CNN, Andrew Cuomo, and then next to a red button that says sponsored, it says inside New York City's charter schools. And you click on that and you get a series of articles all sponsored by the New York City Charter School Center. Can you talk about the decision to provide sponsored content from a pro-charter school organization? I'm sure you're well aware how contentious an issue that is here in the city.
Oh, yeah. I would say any issue that's going to have sponsored content is almost by definition going to be contentious. And this is, but I'd like to think that we're great innovators. Almost most media companies are now doing sponsored content. And the idea is to give an advertiser, whether it's a group or someone selling a product, a different way to pitch their product on a website that's clearly marked that it's from a sponsor or from an advertiser. It seems to be a trend in advertising where the advertiser likes that type of content. I think it's why you've seen a pretty big proliferation of it across most media sites. And I think it's part of a bigger sort of trend inside of digital of people just trying to figure out how do you utilize technology, both not just as a consumer, but when you're an advertiser, to get your message out when people are hit with 1,000 pieces of data every hour from every direction. And I don't know if sponsor content will have legs 3, 4, 5 years from now. There's no doubt that there's some durability to the trend in the short term.
Before you go, we're going to have Adam Moss tomorrow, editor of New York Magazine, on their decision to scale back the print edition to every other week. Do you have any thoughts about that? Do you think it's just a coincidence that you're launching the same week as that announcement, or do the two things together represent some particular media moment?
I think it's a total coincidence. I think it's a fabulous magazine. And I think magazines, like all legacy products, are facing unique challenges. It's just hard. It's expensive to print a magazine. And when you're dealing with a decreasing revenue base, you've got to make changes. So I don't find it all surprising that any magazine is curtailing its production. To be frank, I don't find it all that surprising when magazines go out of business. They're expensive to produce. There's a lot of competition online. It's a heck of a lot cheaper to produce a digital product than it is something that requires a printing press. And I think every legacy company, no matter how cool and edgy it is, and I think New York Magazine is one of the better magazines out there, they have to make adaptations. And I don't, you know, there's a lot of people who shoot spitballs at companies as they have to make these changes. I look at stuff that other companies are doing, and you want to watch other people. You want to figure out what lessons are you learning, what changes are happening, what's working, what's not working. Because at the end of the day, we are all in this together. We're all trying to figure out how do you save nonpartisan, like high quality journalism, whether it's in short bursts of information or large magazine style pieces. And so it's why our industry is fascinating. It's why you and I are talking about it right now, because it's important. And I think being a journalist is one of the coolest jobs you can have. And I think being part of a media company and trying to figure that out, it's difficult right now. It's difficult for Adam. It's difficult for anybody. And I applaud anybody who makes the tough decisions, and particularly if those tough decisions end up with a positive outcome where it makes a publication better.
Jim VandeHei, president and CEO of Capital New York, relaunching today under its new ownership, which is Politico. You've hired some great New York journalists there, many of whom we've had on the show and will continue to talk to. So if you're putting out good stuff, we'll be talking about it. And thank you very, very much for joining us
today. I
appreciate
it. Thanks for your time.
Good luck.
Yep. Take care. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Alain de Botton on art as therapy and a proposal for a new way to organize art museums. Stay with us.